You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast. The following sermon was preached on the first Sunday of Advent, November 29, 2015, by the Reverend Lex Breckenridge, rector at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and the earth distressed among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint with fear and foreboding of what is coming to the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near." Then he told them a parable. "See the fig tree and all the trees? As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is almost near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Ever heard the old saying, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there? Well, do you know where you're going? I mean, seriously. I spent an entire week recently thinking about that question, the question, where am I going? I was blessed to be on a retreat sponsored by the Church Pension Fund at the Bishop's Ranch in Sonoma County, California. It's a place of beauty and serenity and peace and prayer. Every day I would hike the trails through the hills, fields, and vineyards of the ranch and try to be attentive to whatever presented itself along the path, whether it was a magnificent vista, a fallen limb, a hummingbird, or a sun-dappled opening in the forest. Hints and glimpses of God's presence, God the mighty creator of all the beauty of this world, were always before me if I just slowed down to look and then to see. About 900 years ago, St. Thomas Aquinas said that nature is God's first Bible. It's so true. Now, all this time spent hiking around the ranch didn't have a particular goal or a particular destination. It was the walking that was important, and seeing what was there to be seen. But paradoxically, in the midst of all that walking to nowhere, I did come to some conclusions about where I'm going. Now, I love my work. I love St. Thomas and the people of St. Thomas. And I love living right here in the magnificence of the Puget Sound. This is my home, and I'm so grateful that I can be right here. I'm planted here. But I also know that I'll be 64 in a couple of weeks, and I want to believe that means I have only lived two-thirds of the span of the years allotted to me. I want to believe I still have the last third yet to go. So I really got some clarity about where I'm headed in that last third and what that might look like. A clarity I really didn't have until last week. I won't bore you with the details because I really don't know any yet. I just know that I have some vision about the shape of the years to come. I was also with 30 other clergy from across the country and across the church on this retreat, and I was so interested to hear their stories about what's happening in their communities. While some are struggling, there are also many places where the church is strong and vital and growing. The Holy Spirit is moving in the church, that's for sure. But I'll tell you this, as many great stories as I heard about lots of great places, there's no place I would rather be than right here with you. This is such a faithful, committed, open-hearted community, a place filled with life and the Spirit, a place where Christ's love is known and is being made known. So a big piece of the last third of my life involves ministry right here with you all in this place. And so that brings us around to today, the first Sunday in Advent. Advent is a time to get clear about the road ahead of us, a time to pay attention to the markers and signposts along the road, a time to really see what's right in front of us. And in this morning's gospel reading, we're invited to pay attention to markers and signposts that are pretty vivid. We drop in as Jesus is telling his disciples about the destruction of the temple, the center of religious and national life for the Jewish people. And all this takes place right before his arrest and crucifixion. So it really is an apocalyptic time, a time of great and cataclysmic change. And Jesus is telling his disciples, and he's telling us, how to live in the midst of such violent and cataclysmic change. Don't get distracted by too much pleasure, and don't get distracted by too much worry. Don't fall into despair, and don't fall into frivolous irresponsibility. Wait and watch confidently for the Lord's return, whenever it might be. And so the question that Jesus poses is this: how will we live in the meantime? How will we live as we await the Lord's return in the midst of cataclysmic change? How will we live in the midst of what looks like times of suffering and destruction? And here's the surprising answer. Jesus says, "Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." How can Jesus say that these ominous and downright scary events are signs of our redemption? Well, when we step back and look at the whole of Luke's gospel, and really look at the whole of our lives, we see that we live and work and love and struggle between two great events. The first event is the coming of Christ into the world in the flesh to show us the pattern of real life. And that pattern involves crucifixion. And it also involves resurrection. And the second event is the coming of Christ at the end of time to redeem all of the powers of heaven and earth. But we live right now, you see, in this in-between time. And even though this time is filled with tension and struggle, it's also a time of courage and hope. Because we know that at the end of the story, even though it's not here yet, has already been written by the resurrected Christ. The times we're living in right now feel cataclysmic, don't they? Syria, Beirut, Paris, Sandy Hook Elementary School, Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, Umpqua Community College, the Aurora, Colorado Theater, Marysville High School, and just on Friday night, Colorado Springs. If we're afraid to go out during these holidays for fear of a terrorist attack, either from abroad or from a young white male with too easy access to too many automatic weapons. We need to remind each other to stand up and raise our heads, for our redemption has drawn near in Jesus. If we're too afraid to offer hospitality to those fleeing terrorism in their own countries because we're afraid that they might be terrorists, we can remind each other to stand up and raise our heads, for our redemption in Jesus has already drawn near. And we might also remember that Jesus and his family were also refugees fleeing the state-sponsored terrorism of King Herod. You know, I really don't think that terrorism, whether it's from abroad or of the homegrown variety, is our greatest threat. I think our greatest threat is fear. Fear that makes us forget who we are as people of God. Fear that makes us see helpless people in need, fear that makes us see helpless people who are in need as our enemies. Fear that causes us to blame and scapegoat millions of innocent people because of the hateful actions of a demented fringe group. As a Christian, I'm mighty glad I don't get blamed every time the Ku Klux Klan burns a cross and calls for white supremacy in Jesus' name. No, fear is more dangerous than terrorism because it causes us to forget that we're God's people. And to forget what our deepest values are. Jesus reminds us that he's the Lord of history and that he will bring all things to a good end. So, in the meantime, we can stand up and raise our heads together in courage and compassion and treat others, all the others in the world, with the love of God we've known in Christ Jesus. This hope and this courage is what makes a Christian community. It's the hope we hear every time we hear someone in the Bible say, "Do not be afraid." Do you know that the words "do not be afraid" are said exactly 365 times in the Bible? I'm just saying. So when we find ourselves thinking or acting out of fear instead of thinking or acting out of hope and courage, just remember that. For each day of the year, do not be afraid. So in these times of cataclysmic change, St. Thomas is a place of light and hope and courage and confidence. This past Thursday, it was so moving to watch this community share hope and courage and love with hungry people for whom hope might have been in pretty short supply. In the midst of cataclysmic change, St. Thomas is a place where the light of Christ can be found shining in the darkness. St. Thomas is a place where, when we grow fearful, we can remind each other to stand up and raise our heads because our redemption in Jesus is drawn near. And we don't do any of this alone. We have each other for love and support and hope in Jesus Christ. So where am I going? Where are you going? In the end, we're each headed to the same place. We just might take different roads to get there. But whichever road you take, stay alert. Stay awake. Look for the signs and the markers. And keep your head up. Your redemption in Jesus has already drawn near. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.